This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast that over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 8 plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw a hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation usually happens at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and all the other podcast services. Changed because of E3 just this week. If you'd like to be a part of future conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. Or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/popculturists. Head over there, check out the tiers. Might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show the love for the pop culturists on your body, head to popculturists.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and bags and pillowcases and phone cases. All the things you need with our logos on it. Yes, pillowcases on there.
Fucking oath.
Yeah, it's weird. And of course, you're going to have to now head over to twitch.tv/popculturist, where we'll be streaming all our games for at least the next 90 days. So thank you to YouTube for the copyright strike on our YouTube live stream reaction thing. Sorry, on the Ubisoft one. Mm. Fucking thank you, assholes. So now we can't stream here.
Asterix, we'll try to figure it out. You'll try to figure it out.
I can't figure it out. Like, we never have got the subscriber boom. I tried to check the validity of the boom. There is no one that we can email because we're not part of the partner program.
But
because
we
were, but we're not. But we should be because we have all the numbers now. Mm. And then they're like, we'll get back to you by the end of June.
Oh, nearly there.
They said that we met the numbers in the middle of May. They went, we'll get you back at the end of May.
Mm. And then by the end of June.
Yeah.
Anyway, we just watched the Sony E3 2018 press conference, and we're going
to
talk about it.
But before we dive into that, we're going to talk about E3 in general, to some of the things that we caught our attention, caught our eye, things that we liked, things that we didn't like, and then we'll just deep dive directly into that fucking PlayStation.
Don't know how long this will go. I've got a while. I've got about 2 hours.
Yeah.
But this can be a longer episode now. I don't mind.
Yeah,
I
mean, it kind of works out well.
Let's just chat and see how we go.
Yeah. So what have you watched so far? Because as I said, I've watched every conference up until this point.
I've watched Microsoft, Bethesda, and Sony. Didn't bother with Ubi. Didn't bother with Square. Didn't bother with EA. Mm-hmm. I think that's all. I did watch Devolvers as well. Devolvers was great, again. But you've watched all of them.
I have watched all of them at this point.
So from what we've seen so far, because what's left? Nintendo.
Nintendo at 3 a.m, yeah.
Yeah. So what we've seen so far, what is the standout conference for you? Because for me, it's Bethesda.
I'll order them exactly as they are right now.
Okay.
From best to worst.
Mm-hmm.
Worst, Square Enix. Mm. Half an hour of absolutely nothing. Mm. So apart from two games, which they were pretty much like, here's the logo. Everything was at the Microsoft conference.
Mm.
So there was no point of even having that. It was half an hour. It was 3 a.m. So I was like, all right, let's do this. What the fuck?
At least you got to go back to bed pretty quick.
I did. Then it's EA, because EA was a really garbage. They focused on the wrong things. Anthem did nothing for me, but like it looks interesting.
Anthem in premise is cool.
Yeah, Anthem in premise did nothing for me. They talked about the new Star Wars thing without really showing anything. Mm. Like, we're working on it.
Just announced in the crowd.
Yep, they just went to the guy in the crowd.
Having said that, I didn't watch the EA conference. Mm. I have seen clips, though, and I think Andrew and Renee did pretty well.
She did pretty good with what she had.
Mm.
She's
a good host.
She's a fantastic host, but the problem is the crowd wasn't all that excited with some of the stuff. So she's trying to hype the crowd. Yeah. She's like, yeah, come on, woo. And everyone's like, no, you just spent fucking 20 minutes on a Command & Conquer mobile game.
Yeah. But she did well, I think.
She did great. She did great. What else happened to EA? Let me just run through my notes. Things that should stand out. FIFA, who gives a dick?
No, you're just ordering the conferences for now.
Yeah.
Square,
oh, yeah,
EA.
Okay, cool. So Square, EA, PlayStation, Bethesda, Microsoft.
You think Microsoft were on top?
Yeah.
They did have a good show.
As an overall conference? They were tight. They were tight.
The Microsoft conference is what we expect from a PlayStation conference.
Exactly.
It's like they swapped roles this year in a way. But the Microsoft conference was great. And especially towards the end, having that big Cyberpunk reveal as well, which I know you're not keen on, but a whole lot.
Oh, I'm keen on it now.
You are now? Mm-hmm. How good was the car? Mm-hmm. At the end where like the lights come, the tower, oh man, it's so cool.
Yeah, but Microsoft had like they showed 50 games. They played fast and loose with the term exclusive again. Mm. But...
did get me a point though.
So it did get you a point. They did what? It was 50 games. It was like bang, 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 bang. And then they came out and told the important things and then bang, bang, bang,
the
bang,
studios
bang.
Studios they've acquired, man.
See, that's a very interesting thing. So the studios that they... So in the announcement, they've announced that five studios that they've purchased. So the first one is Undead Labs, which has made two games to date, which is State of Decay, which are, you know, State of Decay 1 and 2, which are only on Xbox anyway.
Yeah.
So...
it makes sense.
Being purchased by Microsoft Studios, I already thought they were. Unimpressive. Playground, the guys that do Forza... Forza alone. Awesome. Already assume they'll first party. That purchase means nothing from a perspective, right? They've created a new studio called The Initiative, mm-hmm. which is being based out of Santa Monica, where there's a lot of good studios out of Santa Monica. So mm-hmm. they're in such...
It's the environment there, yeah.
They're in a good place to pillage and like take...
Yeah, yeah.
Take good some other people. And then the big one...
Man, there's Compulsion Games.
Oh, and Compulsion Games, guys that did...
they're doing We Happy Few.
We Happy Few.
That's which we can't get here.
We can't get here in Australia, so... interesting decision. Obviously, they've seen more of the game than anyone else ever that it has. And I think that'll be a good purchase on their future endeavors. Like, right now, it's like, why would you buy them now? But I think they could be fantastic.
We Happy Few is multi-platform, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. It's published by Gearbox right now, so this will be multi-platform because it was established to be multi-platform before the purchase. Mm-hmm. But anything moving forward from them will be...
But the big one...
first party. The big one is creators of Hellblade, Ninja Theory.
Yeah. So...
which, might I add, Ninja Theory have been... previous first party with the PlayStation.
They sure have. And they wanted to do something else and PlayStation said no and cut them loose, mm-hmm. I believe. Now, Hellblade was obviously a big smash success and Melissa Jorgensen won all kinds of awards for her performance at Senua and all that. So it is, even though I haven't gotten around to buying it yet, it is $17 on GOG Games at the moment. As a PlayStation owner who, you know, it's disappointing to, in theory, we're not going to get any more Ninja Theory games on PlayStation, and that's huge. That's a good pull. That is a very good pull.
They've not done a lot games wise. Like obviously, Hellblade's fucking fantastic, but in terms of releasing, they've not done a whole lot because they were independent up until right now, which is one sour note for me. Is like they were the perfect example of the AAA indie, which is a fucking moronic statement.
Yeah,
being an oxymoron.
I get what you're saying,
but like they were the last pillar of we can go fucking hard without being AAA.
No, CDPR. Oh no. CDPR are still independent, though. Technically, they're an indie studio, in a way.
But in the same way as Kojima is technically an
independent
studio.
They don't have a publisher.
Yeah.
They publish themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, and that's the thing. So, you know...
The term indie is very broad.
Indie's very
broad. It's not just your 2D pixel games and stuff. But it's a good pull for them. It's very good pull for them, I think. They didn't do much up until now, but Hellblade has obviously given that huge boost in rep and... just everything, like obviously financially as well.
The point I was making about them having not released anything in a while, it means like what the technology that they have been using for Hellblade is insane. So purchasing them, which therefore I assume means purchasing the technology, that is a solid get.
Yeah. Obviously, Microsoft had a new Halo coming out. I really thought they would have held off a bit longer on it because Halo 5 wasn't very well received. And actually, one of my predictions was 343 would be doing a new IP and giving Halo a rest. Obviously, they're not doing that. They're still leaning very heavily in terms of first party on their old franchises and not really doing anything new.
Yeah, so, you know, once again, PlayStation show, but we're just bitching about E3 right now.
E3 first, PlayStation second.
Yeah, so the conference alone doesn't really give anyone a reason to buy an Xbox now, but it gives them a reason to probably buy one in the future.
Yeah.
And might I add, at the end, Pete Hines mentioned our technology team are R&Ding the new consoles.
But of course they are.
Yeah, but like, I understand they are, but this is the thing. We have reason to believe the next console generation is within the next, 2 years, right? So that would put
I think we'll get reveals next year.
Yeah, so that, even worse, that would put 2 years on the One X. 2 years. A $600 Australian console with 2 years on it? people get butthurt the PS4 might be done and dusted after like 7 years, six yeah. years.
But they've always been very open about, like, you know, we're working on it, we're R&Ding, and it'd be silly to believe that Sony aren't doing the same
they
thing
are,
and haven't been for a long. I reckon they have for the last couple of years. They would have already had, you know, those gears going. But it does seem weird to kind of say it out loud,
especially like once again, because this is the tough thing about console generations is. There are all these people, you see them all the time on social media if you're on any sort of gaming group. They're like, should I buy a PS4 or should I just wait to the next generation? I'm like, motherfucker, do you have a PS3? No. Then you're that guy that's indecisive. Mm. Like, you're never going to be that guy that buys it. Like, the only reason you would, if you're going to buy the PS5 day one, then yeah. So I get to a little nitpick of mine, might I add. But you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Now they've dropped, like, we know the next gen was coming. That's unquestionable. There's that little drop. That makes them go, okay, maybe I don't have to buy an Xbox One X just now.
Mm.
It's the same thing. So Xbox and Xbox One S sales kind of went to a halt when everyone was waiting for One X to come out.
Yeah.
And I think they may have just done the same thing. Unless these games are so compelling coming out with the next, like within 2019, they've done something real dangerous there.
Mm. But as
a total hype ball, by the way.
But as a showing as a whole, they did very, very well. Conference and it makes fantastic. Makes me happy that they did well.
Because a healthy Xbox is a healthy PlayStation. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I was
it's the industry in a whole.
Colin Moriarty's wrap up video of the Microsoft conference, and he said something along the lines of if Xbox was in a bad spot and it was dying, all these third parties wouldn't have been there to show their stuff.
Yeah.
Like to do the world reveal or whatever that they kept saying.
But I also think that comes from when we get to PlayStation, how limited their showing was. Mm. And I think people would approach them, they've gone, no, we're doing something different.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, well, I guess we're going to Xbox.
True, that as well. But I think there would have been quite a few of them that would have said, we want the reveal of our game to look as good as it can. And at the moment, that is the One X. Especially like CDPR with Cyberpunk towards the end there. And there would have been a few others too. But, you know, because we're so used to Sony having exclusive third-party deals like just coming out of their ass. And while Xbox doesn't have that, it's like all the third parties are here in a big fucking way.
Mm.
So, you know, they're on board with Xbox.
But as I said, it also doesn't mention it. It doesn't mention that there's... I don't think there's any exclusive partner deals going on.
Gosh, no.
I think I do... I'm not saying the PlayStation is fucking fantastic. I think it comes down to because PlayStation were like, because they got that hubris and they're like, nah, we're doing something else. Everyone's like, we'll go elsewhere then. Sorry.
Mm. Yeah, but it's also for the casual perception as well. That's very big.
It's funny because my wife did the same thing.
Mm.
We were watching, she's like, oh, we mentioned Square. So she just watched the Square conference because she's interested at the minute. She's like, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, why is that here? I'm like, because it's a Square game.
Mm.
She's like, but it was on Xbox. It's an Xbox game. I'm like, well, no, it's not even. Is it? She's like, is it exclusive in some way? I'm like, no, it's third party. Mm. Just happened to be there.
Yeah.
So they had to explain the
perfect
first,
example.
Third party.
A casual gamer.
Yeah.
And you know, casual parents would go, I can only get on the, like, it's on the Xbox. I saw it on the Xbox, so I'll get the Xbox if I want to play it. You know. So while exclusives are important, you know, third party has a lot of pull too, and the presentation of third parties on that console. Is very big, I think.
Yeah. Now you put Bethesda top of your list. Which I'll add my thoughts on it, but you run. I'm going to open my beverage.
I think it's just. I think the thing with Bethesda is, with Pete Hines and Todd Howard, they're good faces to have for the company, and they're very relatable.
They're good. They're real good.
Obviously, very self-aware about the memes and all that kind of stuff. Shots at Walmart Canada, shots at us for, you know, Skyrim imported to your fridge and all that. Very self-aware, but they just seem like guys who just like making games. And it was very much, to me, a gamer conference more than like EA's investor conference in comparison. And they had some good reveals. I mean, still supporting Prey with Arkane Studios is very cool. That mode, that new, the moon mode, whatever it's called, is out now, and it does seem pretty fucking sick. But Fallout 76 got me super interested in it. I like how, because it seems to be such a shift from what Fallout, you know, is and has been, how Todd Howard came out and he's like, I know, that's why I'm here to go through everything. So you have no questions about it when you walk away from this conference. And I think that was the right approach. Obviously, a lot of long-term Fallout fans are like, well, that's not what I want and all that. But it's kind of like what Metal Gear did with Metal Gear Survive. You know, it's taking that concept and going, let's just try it in multiplayer and see how it goes. And I don't think there's any harm in that. It's obviously not it's not numbered Fallout 5 or anything like that. You know, it's not a mainline game.
They're not saying, they haven't said it's a, because it's technically it's a prequel.
Yeah.
Technically. So I think a Fallout 5 would still be in the works at some point.
Oh, for sure. So but it's not, I wouldn't count it as a mainline game. Mm. It's a Fallout game, but it's not, you know, in the number. And I believe, you know, that tease for the Elder Scrolls was there just to be like, shut the fuck up. We're working on it, you know. Leave us alone. And that's pretty much what he said. He goes, just so you know, he's this trailer show. And he's like, so we're doing it, okay? Mm. Just leave us alone. But that Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be 4 or 5 years away. Because he said it's coming after
Starfield.
And that is at least 2 or 3 years away as it is. And he said they're for next gen as well. So who knows?
Yeah, the very key word there being next gen. Because a lot of people refer to PS4 and Xbox One as next gen. Mm. But I do think that is for the next gen. Yeah.
But, you know, Bethesda had low expectations from Bethesda Land last year. Mm. They had a very poor showing. So I think I went in not expecting much. And it was just a very, like, light-hearted and funny conference. That Skyrim trailer, you know, with the Alexa and all that was hilarious. I was pissing myself laughing. And all the little digs they had at us in the industry and, you know, Walmart and all that. It was a fun watch.
Yeah.
They didn't reveal too much new. Like, there's two titles, you know, the Starfield and Elder Scrolls. It's like, yeah, we're doing this as well. But it's nice to know that they are working on it, at least. Mm. But it was a fun watch from start to finish. I enjoyed watching it. And when Todd Howard rocks up, he brings some kind of energy with him. Mm. He's not really, like, enthusiastic, but just his presence and the way he presents things is very relatable, I think. Easy to digest. He's not using all this dev lingo and all that. You know, he says something and you understand exactly what he means. And he explained away, you know, as much as he could with everything. And he's just great to have there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, I loved it. Personally, it's probably my favorite. Because, like, the things in it, but, like, looking at it objectively, Microsoft had them beat.
Mm. Except for the weird Elder Scrolls mobile game placement. Mm. That's cool. I like the idea, but the placement
and that's some of the things. So, like, weird. Opening with Andrew WK, it's like, I thought that was fun as fuck.
Yeah, that's all right. For us, yeah.
Because I love Andrew WK.
For the setting and the crowd, it was definitely a big
I said, I think it was rad. I said, it may have overstayed its welcome a little bit because it's just the length of the song.
That was one of my things, actually.
Yeah.
Rage 2 will overstay its welcome. What we saw of Rage 2 did get me a little more interested in it.
Yeah, like it's id Software, so, you know, in conjunction with Avalanche. So it looks as if they've got Avalanche is doing all the world building sort of things, and the gunplay is id.
And of course,
it felt heavy, it felt tight, it looked good.
And of course, Doom Eternal.
Yeah, we've got Doom Eternal, we've got Mick Gordon soundtrack there.
Double the amount of demons or something there as well.
Yeah, double the amount of demons. You as the Doom Slayer is, you know, stronger and more powerful.
Yep.
That's a lot of shit. We got a sort of a standalone DLC thing for Wolfenstein with Youngblood.
That's right.
Same thing. It's very similar to New Blood.
The main guy's nieces or something?
No, BJ's two twin daughters.
Daughters.
So in Wolfenstein 2, BJ's partner is pregnant with twins, and yeah, I think you find out how that. So this is set in the future.
Jumping over to Yubi.
We just want to run through Bethesda. So obviously, 476. Keen as shit.
Mm.
I was keen to begin with, and how they broke it down made me more excited.
Yeah, the whole, like, you know, and Todd's wording. So we've put nukes around the map, and you guys can do whatever you want with them. And the crowd's like, yeah!
But what I love about it is, like, having that completely obliterates a part of that world.
Yeah, and then Deathclaws and all that seem to go where the nukes are and all that kind of stuff.
And there's a bunch of unique and special items, from what they say, that are in those areas. So
obviously the most dangerous areas.
Yeah, so what they've done is they've essentially made two versions of the map.
Yeah, well, they've said the map is 4 times bigger than Fallout 4. And Fallout 4 had a big-ass map.
It sure did. And it looks stunning, too.
Yeah, and he said dozens of players, so he didn't say dozens. So whether it means 24 to a map or 36 to a map or whatever, doesn't really matter. I just think the idea that you can supposedly, like, quickly pack your base up into, like, this little briefcase thing and then drop it somewhere else. It's like the nukes coming, like, fuck, 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 fuck. Just, like, throwing everything in
there. And the best thing about it is, you know, with Fallout 4 and the building, which was really kind of janky, it was very clear you can build in these in this location, but only in set boxes.
Yeah.
Where here it's like, build whoever you want.
Yeah.
So if we're like, I like this hill, and we build a night. We find a valley and we build a little hill so we can see everything
you
coming in.
You think to games like Rust. Yeah. I don't know if you ever played it.
I have it on my Steam. I haven't played it yet.
Same kind of thing. You know, you get resources, you build your buildings, and players can come over a hill and see your fort there and go, do I want to try to get in there and take their shit? Or do I just not go near it? And you see like four guys patrolling the top, like with the snipe. Like that's what it is, yeah? So, and the, you know, obviously the fact that it is multiplayer just makes it that much better. I don't think I would play it solo, really.
I'll give it a go.
Give it a go.
But, so I think that's very much going to be an excellent community game.
Yeah. But, you know, he did, Todd Howard did reiterate, you can play it solo, but you're going to get butt fucked.
But I mean, yeah, it's going to be easier.
You would assume that you're on the map and there will be squads of four people there and whatnot. So, you know, I think you'll have to. There is a Discord group at the moment called the Minutemen. Whereas if you're playing Fallout 76 solo and you're getting ganked or griefed, you can go to the Minutemen Discord for help and people will come and help you with that situation. So that's cool too, I reckon. I'm excited for the new direction. It'll be interesting to see what they've done with VATS at all.
I think it's going to have to be gone. For an online system like that, it's got to be gone. But yeah, so I'm super keen on that. And then there's that really, really horrible placement of the blades, which kind of brings it down a bunk as well. Cool idea.
Yeah.
And it's to tide you over. It's give you the Elder Scrolls taste without, you know.
Yeah, I think I said that on the stream yesterday. Yep. It's just a little more Elder Scrolls, you know. Well,
outside of the joking Skyrim stuff on your TV, on your fucking Alexa and your fridge. There's no mention of any ports anywhere, so like that's good. Like,
I think they're done with it now.
I think Skyrim's done with. But like,
well, it's everywhere else. Could you put it?
Yeah, they mentioned Wolfenstein, but we already knew that. So there's no new ports, is what I'm trying to say. So outside of Youngbloods, Doom Eternal, Blades, like they're the only new games that are coming. I said Starfield and Elder Scrolls are so far out that they're just done to be like, settle your shit. Like, stop asking us about it. But what it's gonna cause people to ask about it more.
Yeah, probably. But what I do like is Bethesda's running thing with Fallout is here's the announcement, you get it in like 3 months. Because it's out
5 months. So November? November 17th.
That's still pretty soon. So I do like how
this says that previously Fallout 4 was the same turnaround, 5 months.
Yeah. So hopefully the next time we hear about Elder Scrolls, it's the same thing. We're in 2022 or whatever. It's like, you know, here it is at E3 and it's out in November.
Yeah. So Ubisoft were a little lackluster as well.
All I really cared about from Ubisoft was the Division 2. Now, obviously the scripted gameplay is a running joke by now, but it does, from what we saw, it does show that they listened a lot. They did put good emphasis on the end game, but also one of the main criticisms of the original Division was that the setting was very bland. It was very grey, very samey, whereas in this saw a lot of green, saw a lot of junk, you know, very varied settings, which I think is good.
The big thing is they talk about how the smallpox virus that took over New York has kind of burnt itself out. So people are starting to rebuild. They're starting to do, it's like about 6 months after. So with New York, the way the city is structured, it was pretty much big corridors.
Yeah.
Where with Washington, by the looks of it, it's going to be a lot more open.
Yeah.
So although New York worked because those corridors is just how New York is laid out, it actually benefited from that. But giving it that kick open is kind
of good. And you know, just you're in one area of the Division, you've seen the rest of the game. Like visually, it is just dilapidated buildings and subway tunnels and all that. But I am excited for it. I'm really excited for the Division.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen for it. Beyond Good and Evil looked dope, but I don't care for it. It just looked good. Like I'm not going to rush out and play it. It just looked really good visually. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It's Assassin's Creed. It's my concern is the people that love Assassin's Creed are going to love it. Everyone that's kind of like, oh, Assassin's Creed Origin was all right. And they're like, a new one already? Nah. But they did say they've been working on it for 3 years. Yeah. So
I do like how they seem to be going through different, you know, mythologies and all that at the moment. You know, you got Egyptian, now we got Spartan and Greece. What's next? Who knows? So I like, it is a good way of keeping at least the setting fresh, whereas Assassin's Creed, the original couple were just, you know, in Italy or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, so the first one, yeah, whatever.
Whatever. All very samey. And I do like the added RPG elements too.
Yeah. So outside of Microsoft kicking ass, and then Bethesda on a really strong performance, everyone else has been kind of...
Ori and the Will of the Wisps looked really good, like graphically. I do want to get Ori and the Blind Forest. I've been meaning to.
Me too, for quite a number of years.
$7 on GOG Galaxy at the moment, so I think I'll pick it up. But it just graphically, it's so gorgeous. And Dave swears by it. Dave
doesn't play many games, it's worth knowing.
If it's not Rocket League, it's normally shit.
But anyway, that's everybody else's E3 conferences out of the way. Only just a casual, almost half an hour in. We'll dive into PlayStation. Now, this is... the fuck?
Can you read most of my writing?
Yeah, your handwriting's way nicer than mine. You're fine.
That's fucking garbage, man. Okay, we'll... Yeah, okay. We'll put it here.
Okay.
So...
This overall thoughts out of the way first. One, the fuck was that?
I think the beginning really just kind of janked everything up. Because what they did... Obviously, people have watched it. Is they had everyone in this tent for the Last of Us reveal at the very start, and the tent is obviously in the trailer as well. So that was cool. Like, that was a cool. I'm like, oh shit, that's, you know. But then they had to move everyone to the actual auditorium, which took about 10 minutes, which really just stopped, killed the flow. Because what we've known from Sony for the last 2 years is just like Microsoft was, just go, 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 go. Here's everything. We're not talking. We're not having people on stage to dick around. It's just here's games.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that this year.
They did once they got going. It was once they got going, it was the usual presentation as we know, but with a couple of twists. So, outside of, you know, Sid Schumann, Ryan Clements, and Sean Layden having that little intermission as they fuck everyone off to the other room, which is it. That's the thing. Really cool idea, but you'd think they'd be like, okay, here's people. You know, some people can stay here, and they just show the presentation on the screen in that room. They're having to shuff everyone around.
Cool on paper, but in like, practice. Fell flat.
There was no, like, there's, they, the announcement was the showcase starts at 11.
When it really started at 11:30.
Really started at 11:30, which is super weird, because, and then technically, if that was the case, the Last of Us gameplay, might add, which is, we'll get to in a minute, why that was good, in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Who buries the Last of Us in a pre-show?
No, it wasn't buried. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, it's not buried because everyone went there expecting it to start, and it didn't.
Yeah. So everyone saw it anyway, pre-show or not. People were there and they saw it. The gameplay was sick. It looked very visceral, very brutal.
Very dark.
Very, obviously very dark, as Naughty Dog has kind of gotten into with that series. But it obviously playing as Ellie, whether that's for the whole game or not, don't know yet. Varied combat now. Saw the exploding arrows and the impact from that man kind of blew me out of my seat. I was like, holy shit. Seems a bit more fluid in movement, kind of going under cars and going between counters instead of having to vault over them like Joel had to. The gameplay was good. Don't know where it's going story-wise yet. There's obviously, from the original trailer we saw, not the one of Ellie playing the guitar, the second one, which got everyone up in arms because it was really violent. There seems to be like a religious group who has a thing for standing people on buckets and then hanging them while ripping their guts
out. And then disemboweling them.
And then disemboweling them with their hands. So, you know, story direction, have no idea. Is Joel still around? Is he not around?
We still don't know.
Still don't know.
Like, one thing that we've... Because it was never... correct me if I'm wrong here, but with the Left Behind DLC, it's led to believe that Ellie is gay?
Yeah.
But it's never actually directly said.
No, and that's pretty much the premise for the whole main game as well. It's kind of hinted, because she finds like a porno in the car. She's like, look at this shit, and throws it out the window.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just subtle things. It's not her character. It's just...
No, because the point I'm making is like they've just gone, no, the case. She's now smitten.
Because the thing is, in The Last of Us 1, she wasn't quite at that age.
Yeah, the Last of Left Behind, though, they
Left Behind was a prequel.
Yes, but in that, they kind of address
yes,
it
but
more.
They hinted at it throughout all of The Last of Us, but her character wasn't really even at an age to act on it in a grown-up way with the smoochies and all that kind of stuff.
Whereas like how you've adapted smooch.
She seems to be 16, 17, you know, late teens-ish, where, you know, puberty's hit and, you know, she can actually act on her desires, which she is in this as well. But the main thing of The Last of Us is that it wasn't who her character was.
Yes.
It was just a part of her character.
Spot on. And I'm just saying, because now that they know that's part of the character, they're not doing it to be like, look, it's two girls kissing, meh. Yeah. Like, it's just her. And they're like, you can tell that she's not uncomfortable with it, but she's still finding her feet on it.
Yeah.
They're just...
It's just another layer.
Exactly. I'm saying they've been able to dive into that as a character.
Yeah, and that's cool. I'm excited for that. I still think that this should have been the debut for The Last of Us 2. I think it would have helped the conference as a whole. Like, holy shit. Whereas we saw it last year at PSX, I think.
It as PSX and E3.
Yeah, so I think that was pointless. Absolutely pointless. Other than getting people to talk about it again. But I think if this was the reveal for it, it would have been a lot more impactful. Bit of cool trailer nonetheless.
Yeah, look, I really enjoyed the gameplay. It's in the same way that seeing Fallout 76, I was like, oh, I should play Fallout 4 again. I'm like, I should probably go back to The Last of Us. I think I will.
You probably should. You can't be too far off it, surely.
No, I'm actually not far off.
Just drop the difficulty right down and just plow through it.
Let's play easy.
Yeah. And then we had that long intermission, which I said would be a couple minutes, but it ended up being about 10 before they actually got started. And then they opened with...
Then they came back. So during that intermission, we saw...
Back in Black.
Black Ops, original Black Ops maps coming to Black Ops 4, as well as playable on Black Ops 3. If you pre-order, you get a code.
I hate that. See, I'd probably rather pay the $20 and just get all those maps.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But they did look cool because I said, this map looks good. And you're like, I know that map.
I'm like, it's Modern Warfare 2. Like, no, wait, no, it's Black Ops.
Yeah, but and then it went to like the shooting range one. I'm like, that's Black Ops 1. And, you know, that's cool. I mean, it's cool.
So the problem is I played so much Call of Duty in my late teens. It all meshes together.
But the thing with that is, too, is we don't know when you can play the maps on Black Ops
3. Yeah, there's no mention of that. Or we may have missed it. Maybe.
Black Ops 3 is on PS Plus as well. That's pretty huge.
Then they showed the Destiny 2 next DLC, Forsaken. Shows that Cade being beaten the fuck out.
Killed by the looks of it. That did perk my interest up again because, you know, we've talked about it before, Destiny 2 at launch, really, really loved it. Kind of saw everything there was to get. And then it seems like Bungie just dropped the ball. Really waiting for that big, impactful story to come in. That's what it's missing. There's a story there. It's okay. It's pretty bland. Waiting for that shit to go down that you're like, I care and I want to play it because I want to kill the bad guy that has done all this fucked up shit and not just I'm killing the bad guy.
It's motivation here.
Because that's my next mission, you know. Did perk my interest again. But if I want
to... I won't be jumping into it.
If I want to get back into it, I have to buy the last two DLCs, which I don't really want to do either. Yeah. And then we got Flute Boy.
We got a white dude. It says there's two things that are going to come out of this, and it's called Polygon Articles. We're gonna get a Polygon article about the violence of Last of Us, and then we're going to get one for a white dude wearing Japanese outfit playing a bamboo flute.
Because you can't do that.
Because you can't do that anymore.
It's obviously,
cultural appropriation.
Obviously introducing Ghost of Tsushima, where we got some kind of a trailer and small gameplay set. Day 9 of the Mongolian invasion, I think it says.
Yeah, so it's during the Polyponesian or something.
Polyponesian or something like
that. I don't know how to pronounce it.
The premise of this game has me. I'm like, this looks cool, like, you know, samurai, story-driven, you know, cool, but what they've shown me so far hasn't really kind of got me yet. Beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Especially that final battle in the gameplay with, like...
The sunset, you know, the sunset tree.
And the fires and the red leaves all over the ground. Very beautiful to look at. I'm interested, but so far what they've shown me has made me go... Wow, you know what I mean?
See, I'm not a big sucker for that samurai aesthetic. It just doesn't do it for me. So for that reason, when I saw the trailer at PSX, I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm like, win me over.
And so that's what Bender's doing.
Yeah, that's what Sucker Punch doing. Sucker Punch. Sorry. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what Sucker Punch is doing. Okay, cool. Yeah. And then this, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm gonna, when it comes, we'll play it and we'll do some content on it and whatnot. And like, maybe that'll win me over. It's very possible that's what will win me over.
When it comes.
When
right?
it comes. No date. No date. Which makes sense. I think that game's a little bit far out as well.
Everything is far out from the looks of it.
It looks fine. I'm interested. Like I said, I'm interested when it happens, but we'll go from there.
We've got a cool looking trailer for a game called Control.
From Remedy.
Remedy in 505.
Yeah. Now, if I remember right, let me Google this.
Trailer didn't show much. It was very, very trippy, according to our chat. But it looked cool. Like, it looked like the gameplay and the gunplay and whatever else you're doing in it, like flying and all this other stuff, looked very, very cool, and it looks like a fun play. And it did kind of look, there was a point in it, I'm like, that looks like Quantum Break.
It's developed by Remedy, who did Quantum Break.
Yeah. That's a new IP announced, so, you know, 2019 sometime.
Yeah, so coming out next
year. This one got us by surprise, though.
Yeah. It kicks off with like a rat and like a rat type perspective, an ROV, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you see these two tackling, thought they were smooching, like more smooches.
Yeah.
No smooches.
Well, kind of was.
Well, there's zombie smooches.
Yeah.
Then it comes to reads that the Resident Evil 2 remake is real. Mm-hmm. It is happening.
And it looks damn good.
It looks fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
January 25th, too, which is about when Biohazard released as well.
Like, yeah, that, remember, yeah. You know, Resident Evil 7. Year and yeah, I think it was about that last year.
2 years ago.
Fuck.
By the time that comes out, it'll be 2 years.
Yeah.
About a year and a half now.
Yeah, no, that's like,
looks
that's
great.
Looks great.
Chris Redfield. Was that him? I don't know all their names. So I get mixed up.
I think Redfield was in 2.
Jill Valentine.
Yeah, Resident Evil is way out of my wheelhouse. Like, I'm a Silent Hill guy.
We are one step closer to Nemesis.
Yeah.
And that's all I care about. Getting a remastered shit? Resident Evil 3 would be fucking amazing. The Nemesis was scary as hell. Because, you know, in the older games, how, like, you'd go up the stairs and you'd get that little cutscene of, like, going up the stairs now. The Nemesis would follow you up the stairs, and no other zombies and all that did. You know, if you went up the stairs or through a door, they stayed back in that room. But the Nemesis would come, and you weren't expecting that then. Like, at the time, that was unheard of for Resident Evil. So when you first, like, ran away from the Nemesis and went through a door, and then he comes through the door as well, you shit. You just everything out. And the Nemesis was a really cool enemy too. They didn't really do him justice in the movie, unfortunately.
Mm.
But the movies didn't really do anything.
They didn't do anything
no,
good.
They had fucking Michael Scofield as the villain.
He was playing Redfield.
Or something?
Yeah, he played Redfield.
Was he?
Yeah.
It's just weird. And then Trover Saves the Universe from the Rick and Morty dude.
Yeah, which is Scrunch Games, whatever the fuck it is.
Scrunch Games?
Just
the humor does nothing for me.
Yeah, Rick and Morty is okay. Like, I don't feel it.
I've watched it. I get chuckles.
But it's like, it's the characters of Rick and Morty that make me chuckle.
And
not
that kind of humor fits in the Rick and Morty universe. Yeah. But then you take it out and put it to this, and this just, like, killed it for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Morty character, like, call 711 because we're in this weird universe and it's not 911.
In this universe, that's the one that we call 911.
In Rick and Morty, I'd be like, huh. But in this, I don't care. Just really don't care.
Didn't really do a whole bunch for me.
The new Kingdom Hearts trailer.
It
was a cool trailer.
We saw the opening, you know, in our hearts, blah, 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 that we've seen at, you know, Square Enix, and that we saw at Microsoft. Now I'm like,
a trailer highlighting.
We better not get the same fucking trailer. We just a new trailer
because they had Captain Jack Sparrow.
Which I might add,
looked great.
Holy shit!
And Orlando Bloom's character, William, William Tell in Pirates of the Caribbean. So that's cool. I'm liking, like, the more I see, the more I'm like, I do want to play this. I don't have a big attachment to Kingdom Hearts as it is, which we'll get to in a sec because there's a way to catch up. But seeing, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, and then seeing Toy Story, and then seeing, like, Tangled and Frozen and all that, because Tangled the movie is fantastic. Mm. It is such a great movie. And apparently the voice actor for Flynn Rider in it, he only took the gig hoping he'd get to be in Kingdom Hearts. And here he is now, yeah? But it just looked... It's all these crossovers with the universes that I love.
What's fantastic now with Kingdom Hearts is the first one and the second one were very much the old school, semi-old school, right? You get your Snow Whites, you get your Alice in Wonderlands.
With then, your then, Final then, Fantasies then you back
get,
then
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and then you get your Aladdin, which is a bit more newer. You get your Lion King, which is newer. But there's still that the hand-drawn animation.
They're our Disney movies.
Yeah, our Disney. And now we're getting the next generation, which is all the Disney Pixar.
Yeah, Toy Story, Tangled, Frozen.
I think Mighty No. 9's in there as well. Monsters, Inc.'s in there.
Mighty No. 9?
Yeah. Not Mighty No. 9.
What?
B-Max, BMO.
Oh, Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
That's cool. That's a great movie too. Quite a lot in that movie. But they announced an all-in-one package as well, which presumably has all the previous games.
Yeah, because they were like, hey, here's a special edition PS4 Pro.
Which looks all right.
It looks all right. There's a design on the top. Very interesting that they've shown that, but they don't show a Spider-Man PS4 Pro or any sort of a special edition. We'll get that in a minute. But yeah, having a purchasable pack that goes, you know, you buy Kingdom Hearts 3 and it also gives you 1.5 and 2.5, which might not be a problem.
Yeah.
Like the two big special edition fuck off things.
Yeah. So that's cool. That is a good way for people to catch up because, you know, maybe it is something I'll pick up. Because three has perked my interest in a good way because I haven't had to wait 13 years for it like everyone else.
Yeah.
Into it now is like, yeah, it's only like 6 months away.
It's fine. Like I said, we played number one on a stream a while ago.
Yeah. Was it January 29th?
January 29th.
Yeah.
So after Square, we're like, it's 2018. It's 2018. It's not 2018. It's 2019.
I think I got that was one of my things. I think. Oh, look later. And then we go to Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding. I was been pretty interested in this. So in this trailer, there was just a bunch of walking around, no action,
quote unquote gameplay.
What looked to be gameplay, there was some cinematics. once again, it told us nothing. And without that, with that gameplay being just dicking about and walking around, like,
nice environment.
It was nice environment. It showed the scale, I guess, and the visual fidelity. But like, it actually tarnished it for me. It made me less interested, which is a problem.
Just kind of over it at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be the thing. Every year there's more Death Stranding until it actually comes out. Instead of, you know, incubating it and being like, you're not going to hear about it until we've got something interesting to show. Instead of it being, please give us something to show. I've said it before, I don't have that big attachment to Kojima. I never got into Metal Gear. I understand this is pretty standard Kojima stuff at this point, right? This is normal Kojima kind of things.
Weird shit.
But it's just, so far I've got no reason to really be like, yeah, I want it so bad, because I haven't seen anything yet. It's just the same old weird shit.
See, like, I always say that I love Kojima. I think I love Metal Gear Solid. I don't think I love Kojima.
Well, this will be telling.
This will tell me. Like, when we play this in 2038, I'll have an answer for you whether I like Metal Gear Solid or I like Kojima. And I have a feeling the answer is I like Metal Gear Solid.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because at least with Metal Gear Solid, this is, I don't know, Kojima was part of Konami, so he did kind of have these reins on him, like, you know, just get it done, where are you at, what's happening, you know, keep it flowing, whether what you think about Konami or not doesn't matter, it's just he had someone above him being like, what are you doing? Whereas with this, it's like, he kind of doesn't, it doesn't seem like Sony are very, like, going to be, like, pushing him too much for anything. It's like, yeah, take your time, do what you want to do, and I think that's going to bite him in the foot.
Yeah, because Jim has been pretty consistent at going over budget and over time.
Yeah.
And I think without those reins, it's going
to
be dangerous.
And I think them trying to put those reins on him, it'll be too late by then, and it's just going to be a big clusterfuck. I do want to play it, but show me something,
I'll
please.
Play it when it comes out, but like, having them just showing walking around or just a journey, as you pointed out, I think that's fine. You can tell a good story that's about getting from A to B.
That's what The Last of Us
is. What the God of War was.
Yeah, and it's just get from here to here and stuff happens in the middle.
Yeah, and like, so for that, like, I have no problem with that as a journey story, but with the vagueness and the intentional confusion that's Death Stranding is pumping out, it's kind of weird now.
Unless the next time we see it, there's just one more thing that makes everything go and click into place, and we go, you know?
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, but I don't think that'll happen.
No.
Surprise announcement for Nioh 2 from Team Ninja.
It's surprise, but not surprise. Like, Nioh was...
As in, we didn't expect it.
I didn't expect it to come out here.
Yeah.
Nioh, yeah, fantastic.
We streamed that.
We streamed it. I got stomped in 8 seconds. People love it. A buddy of mine at work has just played it religiously. Like, he has done everything that is physically possible in that game.
It's like people getting to the point, like in Dark Souls, where it's like, I'll just play the game without wearing any gear and a stick, and I'll beat the end boss without getting hit once, because I've played it that much.
And that's what Adrian's done.
Yeah.
He's done exactly that. So he'd be really stoked with this announcement. He'll probably pee his pants.
That's good. Just those kind of games, I just can't... I don't know. I like them a lot.
I like the idea,
but I can't dedicate my time to them. Especially with like Dark Souls and Bloodborne, the imagery and, you know, the art direction. I'm like, this is incredible. I absolutely love it, but I can't play the game. So I'm not very good at it, but I don't feel compelled to get good at it. And then Spider-Man.
Yeah, look, I'm interested. They showed off what looks to be the 5 key villains of this game.
One surprise. Right at the end of the trailer, he's like, you.
Yeah. So we see Mr. Negative, who we already knew about. We see Scorpion, Vulture, Rhino. Electro, and Rhino.
Yeah.
And they're your 5 villains for this game.
Yeah, but like you said, because Spider-Man said during the trailer, 5 of my villains have gotten out. Mr. Negative wasn't in jail, so there was a 5th one, maybe.
You'd like to think.
No, Green Goblin. I think it's a given at this point. The game, it looks fun. I don't think I needed to see that. But it looks fun.
Yeah, look, it showed more of the gameplay, and the gameplay is like Arkham. Cool, I like it.
Bit faster paced than Arkham.
I think the overall convention got me kind of down on it, because I was pretty interested in it. After the last trailer I saw, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely in.
Like, I'm definitely a bit of a down note from the conference as a whole, so it's probably undersold it a little bit.
Yeah.
Hi, James. My son's knocking at the
Not
door.
Long, bud. I don't think we're nearly done. But yeah, and then they kind of... Oh.
How did you open that door?
He can't even reach it. He looks grumpy as fuck.
How much someone just woke up. Hey, buddy. What happened to your eye? What is... My son's got eye damage.
He scratched it by the looks of it.
Oh. All right. Hey, everyone. This is my son, James.
Yeah. Hey, what did you think of the Sony conference, buddy? Yeah, that's what I thought. But then they had dreams popping up throughout the whole thing.
Still no release date.
Still no release date. It's just his stuff. It's still a thing. And then they ended it, but then they came back with a surprise announcement of a VR title from From Software, which I don't think it was what anybody expected it to be.
No, because it looks nothing like anything From Software's
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
Anyone that knows From Software now.
Yeah. It just, I don't understand. Like, the trailer really showed nothing. Mm. It was just kind of panning shots of people doing things and whatnot. But it is a VR title from a big publisher, so that's good.
Yeah.
But VR was very absent.
Almost non-existent. Yeah,
which was one of my predictions. Less than 5 minutes of VR screen time, and there was less than 5 minutes.
So we'll wrap our thoughts, and then we'll jump into our predictions. So,
predictions for what?
Well, no, sorry, what our results were. We'll have a run through.
Oh, okay. I think just the last 2 years were so good for Sony, but I do think they blew their load a little bit early with a lot of games, announcing them too far out. I think if, you know, Last of Us was announced here, that'd bring this up a whole lot more. But from when you're all the way up here, the only place to go is down. And they obviously had a very set mindset, like, we just want to focus on our four games. Days Gone was not there. Shows a big lack of faith in it.
Granted, they did announce a release date a couple of days before.
Yeah, but this is the last big... I suppose there's still PSX to go, maybe, before
it
comes out.
Yeah, technically PSX before it goes, yeah.
There was just nothing new and nothing surprising there, which they kind of put themselves in that position from liking to announce things so early out. But I was disappointed in the conference overall.
Me too.
Because... like I said, I knew about everything, and the games they did show, I feel no differently about them to how I did before. Mm. Death Stranding, I was like, meh. Spider-Man, I was like, cool. Tsushima, I was like, oh, I kind of need to see more, and I still feel exactly the same about those games.
I completely agree. I think the big problem is, yeah, that everything that we've seen, we've either seen before, we know about, and anything that was additional is like, okay. Now, Resident Evil Remake's a big one. I know a lot of people that would be really, really pumped on Resident Evil Remake, but... It left me really off.
Boom.
Yeah, it left me off. Like I can't explain it, but it was just the idea of having them in that church / little hall
tent thing,
really cool. But having then to move them to a different location. Like, if that was the thing, and then there was no transition, like, as and there was just like, bam, cut to bigger auditorium.
It honestly seemed like they did it to pad out the time, because they didn't have enough to show for that hour and a half, that took up half an hour. Like, if that wasn't there, but they still had the same runtime, what else would they have shown at this point?
Yeah. It completely makes sense why they said that, like, no hardware announcements. Because there was no room to talk about it. And even if the way they would do it, you know, the way they've done hardware announcements in the past is they'll do a little conference and explain the details of where it's at. One thing that we'll hear a lot from a bunch of the PlayStation Echo Chamber is they'll call it the PS3 hubris again. So I don't think it's the case.
What do you mean?
Because a lot of people talk about how coming from the success of the PS2 into the PS3, the Sony had this hubris they could do no wrong. I don't think that's the case here. I think there is a bit of pride here being like, our first parties will sell this conference.
Yeah.
I don't think it's them going, we are so fucked, we can do whatever we want and get away with it. Like, no, I think it comes down to, like, we think that these four titles will bring enough that we don't need to pad it with a bunch of third parties, which, to their detriment, has opened up Microsoft to come in and swing and get a win.
With the exception of Destiny... there was no real other third parties there.
Black Ops, really. We know Black Ops has the
Activision
marketing
deal
with them.
Still with them, obviously.
Yep, Call of Duty has the big marketing deal still, so that's understandable why
Kingdom
that's
Hearts
there.
Was at everything already.
Yep.
Neo 2.
Yeah, Neo, console exclusive is available on PC.
We don't know if that control game from Remedy is exclusive or not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, Quantum Break was second party to play Microsoft anyway, so who knows what that could mean. Obviously, the From Software PSVR makes sense.
I think they had two great years the last 2 years, and I think they're in a spot where it's like, we're in a position now that we can try to do something different. Mm. And they've tried it, and they're going to get their feedback from it and go, oh, we're not going to do that again. Or let's iterate on it. You know, let's do our own thing. You know, it's up to them.
Granted, it didn't meet my horrified expectations that it was going to... Hey, bud. They were going to do another panel like they did at PSX.
Mm, they didn't I
was heading that way real fast.
However, that panel set was dope.
Yeah, I want that
we
set.
We need that table.
I want that. Like, that's the table that we need here.
Yeah.
A little bit of a curved table. But, yeah, it just left me really unimpressed. Let's jump into the Facebook group and let's see what the others had to say.
Your son is kicking my ass. Oh. Do it again. Oh, you go Facebook, I'll go Discord, because we have the conversation.
There isn't. Both. Oh, hang on.
Or was everyone so mad they just bailed out?
I think everyone's on Facebook, dude.
Yep.
All right.
I thought you were looking at Facebook.
No, I went.
Sorry for the intrusion, everybody.
Oh, hang on. My child's getting out of hand. It's not coming up for me. Can you pull it up?
Sure can.
But yeah, we'll jump into see what the community have to say. I hope they've jumped
Sean
in
Sean says, overall, I enjoyed it. Strange choices of live music, very slow pace. Keen for The Last of Us 2. Bit concerned about new VR content. Lucky Bethesda is still keen for new VR games.
Yeah, because they mentioned they released what they'll have. You want to draw? There you go. Yeah, they had the Wolfenstein one, and there was another one? What was the other one? I don't remember now.
Oh, I don't remember now. No, that's it for now.
That's it. Yep. Thanks, Sean.
And we missed a lot of the stream because the stream, a lot of the viewers because the stream.
Yeah, the stream really fucked us over. So thanks for that.
What did you want to talk about after that?
That's it, really.
That's it.
I imagine there's nothing on the drop. I imagine, yeah.
Nah, I didn't look.
Nothing else.
Well, we're already into the week now. There's no point reading the drop. Everything comes out tomorrow that would be on the drop anyway.
That's true. So let's close this bad boy out.
That PlayStation conversation normally happens on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show the love of the Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and bags and pillowcases and all these phone cases, all these things that you need without shit on it. And of course, please head over to twitch.tv/popculturists, where thank you to a copyright strike on an Ubisoft video, we can now only stream to Twitch. So for the next 90 days, any stream that we do will be on Twitch.
At least there's no confusion where to find us.
At least there's no confusion. It's always Twitch now, except for this video. Yeah. Maybe some other videos we'll put up. But that's pretty much it. So, I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players. Oh, and this is James.
And that was a disappointing E3 conference.
It's a very disappointing E3 conference.